This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 4. And before we get there, we're going to just talk today. I want to share some of my story with you today as we talk about no longer slaves, but children of God. And I want to talk to you about the picture of God I kind of grew up with and how I went through a faith crisis in my 20s and my picture of God started to change. I started to understand more about relationship and not just rules. I grew up a slave to rules, and I truly got to a place where I believed that God's love for me was based on what I did or did not do. And so in my 20s, I think young people today are calling it deconstruction. I think that's what I was doing in my 20s, just trying to figure out who God is, knowing that we get our picture of God, of our Heavenly Father, from our earthly dads. And I take this responsibility very serious in my home with my kids when they were growing up. And we say it at this church all the time. Parents are the primary authors of their child's heart, meaning our children are watching, listening, remembering, and repeating. And every day we get to paint this picture. And I don't want today to be a guilt trip for anyone. I would love for us to look at what it means to be in relationship with our Heavenly Father, to cry out to Him in this intimate trust relationship, for Him to be the first one that we turn to when life is uncertain or difficult. But I know that my kids growing up, they could tell you all sorts of stories about me today. But when I think about what my kids see when they look at me, this is the first picture that comes to mind right here. I think this is how I feel. Can you raise your hand if you don't know who this is? Can I just see? Oh, my God. We're losing a generation is what's happening. So that's the Fonz, like the coolest guy ever. But I know when my kids look at me, this is really what they're seeing right here. It's very different, what I think they see and what they actually see. And so we're celebrating Father's Day, and we're, you know, in the season where everybody's taking family vacations. If you've already had your summer vacation, would you raise your hand? Let me see your hands. If you're still yet to take it, would you raise your hand? If you're like, it ain't in the budget, would you raise your hand? Okay. I get it. So some of you are going to go on road trips. And I just believe I speak on behalf of all fathers when I say, let us pack the vehicle. Just bring your stuff to the car. We will make it look like that. We don't need your help. And some of you are going to be flying places. And a rule when our kids were growing up, don't talk to dad in the airport. Because he's going to be on the phone because we just missed our American Airlines connection. And we're planning now with Delta. And so don't talk to me. Right, I got to get this figured out. And especially when we go through TSA, I'm going to be getting a pretty thorough search. A couple weeks ago, my shoes did not pass the bomb test that they swipe, and an alarm went off, and the guy walks up to me and goes, we're going to need to go to the back. And I'm like, I'd prefer to do it out here where there's cameras and where I feel safe. He goes, are you sure? I've never had it where they go inside, and I mean, it's like, woo, it was like, all right, okay. And I told the kids, I was scheduled for a prostate exam, but I'm canceling that now. I would like him to tell me how it's going. I want to welcome all of our guests. If this is your first time at our church, it won't ever get any better than what you're experiencing right now. So some of you are going on cruises. I've already seen this, and my family will tell you, I don't mind a cruise, but I hate, and I can't use that word strong enough, hate cruise excursions. I think they paint this beautiful, flowery image of what you're going to be doing, and it's never like that. Amy signed us up for a botanical walk once on an island, and we're walking, and she's pointing out weeds, and hey, this is, do you have this flower? It's called a daffodil. I got those at home, and it's like, and then this lady rushes up on the beach. Everybody get up here, real quick, look at this. And she shows us a piece of driftwood. This came up on the beach last night, and I'm like, I look at Amy, I'm like, how much did you pay for this thing? And she wouldn't tell me, and at the end of our botanical walk down a sidewalk with a few weeds are kayaks, and we're supposed to kayak over to a small island. It's blowing 50 miles an hour, and Carson's in my kayak. We're getting nowhere. We're still on the shore, and I'm going, my son was little, and I remember him going, what are we, Lewis and Clark here? Let's turn around. And I found the perfect video this week of a dad who signed up for one of these excursions. He thought he was getting a jetpack excursion, but instead he got a dolphin ride, and he was the dolphin. Check this out. I can't get up. Hey, about halfway through that excursion, he was reminded that he paid $400 for this thing. And that's when his arms came out. He's like, you know, I should make the most of this right here. Oh, skip the cruise excursion. So anyway, all right, you all are a bunch of fun. So enjoy your summers, Dad. I hope you enjoy time with family. And again, I shared with you, I had a faith crisis in my 20s where I really wanted to understand grace and grew up singing about it, but didn't really understand it. I had a lot of rules, and as a rule follower, I followed the rules, but didn't really understand relationship. And you know what one author says, rules without relationship equals rebellion. And rebellion is not always shaking your fist at God. Rebellion can be just giving up and walking away. I wasn't walking away from my faith, but I remember just thinking there's got to be a new way forward. And I started reading everything I could get my hands on about grace and what it means to walk in grace. And Chuck Swindoll was the first book I picked up called The Grace Awakening. I want to share with you, because you might be thinking about my parents. And the cool thing about this journey I was on in my 20s, my parents were on this journey with me. And I would read a chapter or two and call home and discuss it, and we would walk through this together. And I was really, really listening and leaning into grace. And I came to moments where I'm like, I don't deserve this. If you ever in your study of grace get to a place where you say, I don't deserve this, you're absolutely correct. If you get to a point in your study of grace where you're like, I'll never measure up, you're right. If you ever get to the point in your grace journey that I can't earn this, you're right. It's something to be received, not earned. One of the next books I picked up was by Philip Yancey called What's So Amazing About Grace. And these two lines were on the back of the book, and it's all you need to know everything going on inside of the book. And he just simply said this: there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. And when I first read that, I said, can't be true. Can't be true. So I started on this journey, and if you go to Ephesians, and as we talk about salvation, we're very clear at this church. Salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, period. That's why when we get to Galatians, you're going to see Paul's passion to the Galatians saying, why would you walk away from living out the message in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, and return to obeying the law? Because what was going on in that day, the Judaizers came in, the false teachers came in and said, yes, Jesus, but obey our laws. Yes, keep our customs. And Paul calls that not only a different gospel, but a perverted gospel. It's not the true gospel when you add works to it. And he's saying, why would you go back to the law? Why would they go back to following the law? It's for the same reason you and I, when we're trying to live out grace in our lives, we will go back to things that are comfortable, predictable, things we know, things that didn't even work for us, environments and people, toxic relationships. We'll go back to the comfortable. So I started studying. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. The first question I had as I was wrestling with this is, how does my faith, and do I have enough faith, right, to be saved? Do I have enough faith to receive this free gift of salvation? And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift. So now I'm understanding a gift is something you receive, not something you earn, and not by works. Well, for some of you, you've grown up in church, and all you know is works. And maybe you You don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Your picture of God is the same picture I had growing up. It wasn't really Heavenly Father, intimate trust relationship. It was more scorekeeper God. He's keeping track of your good and your bad. And so I never really had the relationship. So I had to start asking the question, how do my works? Because we're not going to discredit works today. We're just not adding them to in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone for salvation. And we'll see where that plays out. It's not by works so that no one can boast. So I started asking the question, how do my works work when it comes to grace? And I love what Dallas Willard said. Grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. And when I first understood grace, that I feel like was for the first time in my early 20s, when I understood salvation by grace, it was really the first time it gave me the desire to follow God, to follow in my relationship with Christ and to live for Jesus. And this is what Paul wants for the Galatians, to understand that you don't become a child of God by obeying the law. You come, receive this free gift. He wanted them to find and walk in freedom as sons and daughters of God. Now, when we say this, there are some that are going, what about cheap grace? What about people where grace abounds, sin abounds all the more? They receive this free gift. And there may be some of you in here that have had this attitude. You receive this free gift, you understand it, and your thought is, then I can live however I want. That was not my experience. When I truly understood it, it gave me a desire for the first time to dig into his word and realize, okay, my works are the overflow of my salvation, not the source of it. This is so important. If Amy walks in the family room today and says, Ted, I love you. I can't even tell you how much I love you. I can't tell you how much I want to pour my love and serving and hospitality, generosity out on you. I want to give to you. And Ted, there's nothing you will ever be able to do, nothing you can do that will change how much I love you. If she pours that on, let's say for 5 minutes, she's laying that on thick. And my first response is, how can I take advantage of this? That's what you would call evil. That's not the response when you truly understand. Someone hands you a gift today, you don't open it and be like, well, I deserve this, right? And this is all for me now, and then you're going to be like, I'm never giving you anything. No, it's like when you receive this gift, it's like, what can I do now as an overflow of this overwhelming generosity poured into my life? And that's why in Galatians 1:6, we read really the context, the whole book of Galatians, this letter that Paul wrote, but not just the context, you also get the tone, because he says, I am astonished. I love that word astonished because it combines multiple emotions. He's shocked, right, and confused. Why would you receive this free gift, walk in freedom with Christ, and then say, oh yeah, but we're going back. We're going back to following the law. And this is what he says, I'm astonished that you would so quickly desert the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, to live in. We're not just saved by grace, we live in grace. We walk in grace. We walk in this freedom that we have. And again, I grew up in a church, we had rules for everything. I mean, we had rules with our hair, it couldn't touch our ears, weren't allowed to wear shorts, women weren't allowed to wear pants, there was no tattoos, we weren't allowed to dance. Right? I mean, you know how embarrassing it is for a fourth grader to take a note from home to the PE teacher exempting me from square dancing? Oh, it's embarrassing. Yeah, my friends would be like, what's going on? Oh, it triggers my asthma. I don't have asthma. I was making stuff up. I remember my friends going, Ted, I think even the Amish square dance. I know! We're more conservative than them. You go play baseball in the neighborhood and your friends are all, taking hits on their candy cigarettes in the dugout. Like, Ted, you want to hit? You know darn well I can't have any of that. I mean, that's just how I live my life. Shun the very appearance of evil. We weren't allowed to go to the movie theaters, but then Blockbuster came out. Couldn't go to the theater, but we could go to Blockbuster. So you see where the crisis starts to develop. A young person goes, this isn't lining up. It isn't making sense. He's saying, I want you to live in the grace of Christ. That when you open the Word of God, your desire is to follow after Jesus, his ways, his words. And this is the overflow of your salvation. This is your thanksgiving. And instead, he says, you're turning to a different gospel. And a different gospel is no gospel at all. It has no saving power. When you get to Galatians 3:26, Paul says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Very important, because he's really bringing home the point about works. You're children through faith. And this is where I started to wrestle. Do I have enough faith? And the late Pastor Timothy Keller has helped me process this over the years, that it's not the strength of my faith, okay, that saves me, but it's Jesus that saves me. And that's why he says it's not the strength of your faith, but the object. Who's the object of your faith? It's Jesus that actually saves you. Strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to a weak faith in a strong branch. And by the time then you get to Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at just four verses today in Galatians 4, and I know that was a lot of setup for these four verses. But we read in verse 4 of chapter 4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, Jesus, born of a woman. He's given theology here now. So Jesus was fully God, fully man. He wasn't 50% God, 50% man. He was fully God, fully man, born under the law. This is important because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life under the law, okay? To redeem those under the law. Now, you're going to see his passion really start to come out for them to understand what it means to be saved and what it means to walk and live in this gospel. The word redeem there means to buy back from the slave market. And the Galatians would understand this word picture perfectly because they watched the Romans build their empire on the backs of slaves. And what he's saying is, you have been bought and redeemed from the curse of the law and from being a slave to sin. You're no longer slaves, but you're children of God, and I need you to walk as children, not slaves. He's very clear that we might receive adoption to sonship. Verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Our English equivalent to this would be daddy or papa. It's a term of intimacy and trust. I trust you. Calling out Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And he is crying out to the Galatians to understand this and not just to receive this for their salvation, but to know and to walk in this for their sanctification. He is the one doing this work in you. He cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy. When my daughter was 4, she escaped from her Critter Street class out here. And I was up here preaching. I was getting after it one Sunday, real passionate. And I saw her in the back, and I'm like, oh, that's she got out. And we're much better at security, for those of you new to our church. We're way on top of it now. We haven't lost kids for years around here. But she got out, and she just made her way down the aisle. I'm in the middle of a sermon. She walks right up on stage. I'm like, all right, I guess we're doing this. So I get down, and everybody hears it because my mic is on. I go, what's up, Corinne? She goes, can Emma come over after church? I said, yeah, that probably won't be a problem. I'll talk to Mom about it. And I thought, well, this will be it. She goes, what about Lucy? Can Lucy come too? I'm like, listen, I'm going to get after what I'm up here doing real quick, but you and I afterwards will get with Mom and do it. The whole congregation hears it. I finished the sermon. Ted Burden, our worship pastor at the time, he tells me, he goes, you should just stop preaching right now. I said, what? He goes, that sermon was so good. I'm like, well, thank you. He goes, no, not that thing you prepared. he said, it'll be the best message I've ever seen is your daughter walking down the aisle and you having to stop a sermon to talk to her, because you know in that moment, Corinne didn't care what was going on in here. She didn't care who you were, right? I'm her dad. She has access to me anytime she wants. And I've heard from multiple people over the years, still the best. So for, you know, a couple times a year, I ask the kids, hey, break out of your class real quick. Come down in front. I didn't realize how much mileage we're going to get out of this. So, but that, what a picture for us. When life is uncertain for you, when you don't know where to turn, when it's overwhelming, the weight of life is just weighing you down, when you get that diagnosis, when you can't get that house or you got to give up a house, do you turn to old systems, patterns, people that didn't work for you? Or is your immediate response to turn to Abba Father? Your heavenly Father. You have access to it at any moment, at any time. My daughter was married 2 years ago on May 31st, and when I woke up that morning, there was a card sitting on my counter where I get ready in the morning, and it just said, Daddy. It's 3 pages of a letter. And you'll never hear one word off of that letter. And it'll never be in a book or in an article. It's for me, and I mean, it is, I read it on a plane the other day, and it got pretty, I get emotional every time I read it, when I go, what? This is exactly the relationship Paul is trying to explain to the Galatians. This intimacy. And I've told my daughter, she's in her 20s now, but will you please still call me daddy? Every now and then, we'll be driving down the road, and she'll look over at the speedometer, and she'll go, how fast are you going, Pastor Ted? And I'll be like, call me daddy. You know I prefer daddy. Do you call him daddy? Theologian George Strait says, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. You know the song. So here it is today for us. Christ set me free, and I am part of God's family. I am an heir, not by anything I've done or will ever do, but because of the gift he offered me and I received. And that's what we want for you today. Galatians 5:1, Paul just doesn't let up. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And you can ask the teaching team here. If anybody's ever teaching and there's a hint of legalism that creeps into the message, my lower lip starts quivering and I get fired up because I'm not returning to a yoke of slavery. I'm not returning to it. I want everything I do to be the overflow of all that he has done for me and my salvation. What you believe about God determines how you relate to God. Some of you had a harsh dad, a demanding dad. There are those in our church who had dad leave. I've been watching a documentary this week of an athlete whose dad left when right after he was born. Dad was gone. And so some of you have an absent dad. And I talk about father relationships, and for you, it's like, I want nothing to do with it. Well, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. And mom and dad, this isn't a time for you to go on a guilt trip today. Guilt trips lead nowhere. They're dead ends. Don't feed your regrets. Ask Jesus to redeem your remaining days. And there's going to be something in a moment I share with you that every father can do. Because here's what I know. I'm not the perfect father. I think I'm the Fonz. But I'm the old guy in a salmon Columbia fishing shirt. So the question before us today, and I please let this settle in, because some of you, your vision of God, dad was distant when you were born, so he must be distant and angry, demanding and harsh, just scorekeeper God, demanding and harsh. I want you to know, whether your dad was present or absent, patient or demanding, kind or angry, strong or weak, you can turn to and trust your heavenly father, no matter what earthly dad you had. So the question is he someone you can turn to when life isn't working? When a relationship isn't working, when the job isn't working. Because we often, when we don't trust our Heavenly Father, we turn to old patterns, jobs, friends, finances, to whatever list we want to grab hold of, something that's familiar, comfortable, predictable, that doesn't work, but that we retreat to when we're stressed. And is your Heavenly Father enough? We were in New York years ago when Carson was very small. Carson's, my youngest son, is not a, never been a real touchy-feely kid. He wasn't a cuddler. We didn't hold hands walking through the mall. It just wasn't who he was. It wasn't what he desired. And so we were in New York. And if you've ever been to New York, when you're trying to cross a street, there's literally, no exaggeration, 100 people waiting to cross the street. You're shoulder to shoulder. It's okay for adults because you can see over heads and shoulders. But when you're this tall and all you see is this, it can be frightening in a mob like that. And I remember getting ready to cross street after street. And the first time Carson got scared in that, and his hand shot up immediately and grabbed mine. Because this was so rare, I mean, I grabbed it and I was like, turned around to brag to Amy, what up? She busts through and grabs the other hand. We'll get you across the street. And we got across the street, and his hand was, he just felt safe again. Why is that not our first response when life is uncertain? I've told you about my first crisis in my early 20s. My next one came when I was 26 years old. Called to pastor the river in Forsyth, Missouri. I was 26, right out of seminary. And I knew everything. you're new to our church, that's called sarcasm. I didn't know nothing. I was clueless, and I entered into a mess. I created a mess. I added to the mess. It was just a mess. It was an absolute mess. And a guy by the name of Gary Smalley called, invited Amy and I to breakfast. Many of you know this story. I'm not going to share the whole story with you, but he came right in the middle of another faith crisis. My first faith crisis, God turned into a faith milestone. And now God was going to use Gary to turn this faith crisis into a faith milestone. And that's my prayer for everyone in here that might be in a crisis today, that it would become a milestone in your life and not something you shake your fist at God and walk away. Instead of shaking your fist at him, that you would reach up and hold on and say, I'm ready for this ride. We met at Bob Evans here in Branson, and Gary sat down. I didn't know he was doing it until years later. He wrote a book on this called The Blessing. And he started to give Amy and I the blessing that day. And he didn't sit down and go, number one, number two, number three, number four. But it was in everything that he did. And here's the five elements of the blessing. And then today I'd like to speak it over every single person on campus and over every person who's watching today. The first part is meaningful touch. If you were around Gary, you knew it was always a hand on the shoulder. Yes, he was a hugger. But the hand on the shoulder, right, communicates safety, but it also communicates I'm near. I'm someone you can trust, and I care for you. And I remember that first day. First day I met him, he's hugging me as he sees Amy crying, and I'm mad at this mess that we're going through. And then the second part is spoken message. Gary believed with all of his heart that the tongue had the power of life and death. And today, what's sad for me in the church, what's sad for me among Christians today, we're speaking, it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but this is my assessment of what I see, we're speaking more death than we are life over one another. And Gary didn't know how to speak death. He only spoke life. And so he started to speak life into Amy and I, and that was the third part, which is attaching high value. So he was speaking honor over us, reminding us, you're image bearers of Almighty God. You have automatic intrinsic value. And some of you right now feel worthless. And you need someone to remind you, there's nothing about you that is worthless. You're an image bearer of Almighty God through creation. Through salvation, you become a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. The scripture we read today, you're an heir of Almighty God. That's a lot of value. Then he started picturing a special future for us. I'll never forget him saying, you know, most guys aren't blessed with this type of treatment till 10, 15 years out of seminary. You're getting it in the first 5 months. He said, you should be falling on your face, praising your Father in heaven for this. He goes, because I don't know what it means, but God's going to do something great through all of this pain. And we've just watched year after year, God use that pain some 23 years later. And then active commitment. After doing all of this, Gary at the end of the breakfast said, I'd like to stick with you as you go through. And I remember him telling me, it's going to take you 2 years to heal. And being a cocky 26-year-old, it ain't going to take me 2 years to heal. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We're going to get right back on. He went, okay, it'll probably take a little longer than 2 years. And so what I want to do as we close today is ask that you bow your head and close your eyes. And some of you need a blessing today. Some of you never received this from your father. Some of you are dads right now who are on a guilt trip because you never gave this type of blessing to your child. And if your children are still, and I talk to so many people at our church who aren't even in relationship with their fathers anymore. They don't have conversations with them. I'm going to encourage you, it's not too late. As you receive this blessing for you today, that, boy, wouldn't it be something if all of us, maybe close to 3,000 people on campus today, would leave here today being people speaking life over others and speaking blessing over others. And I'm going to give you this blessing today. Your heavenly Father is near. He is not distant and angry. He speaks to you through his word. You every day can wake up and open the Bible and hear God speak directly to you. It is alive and active. You are highly valuable to your heavenly Father. Through creation, you're an image bearer. Through salvation, you're a child, an heir of God. The scripture says that in his house there are many rooms, and Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He wants to spend eternity with you. You don't get a much more special future than that. And as far as active commitment goes, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Would you pray with me today? Father, for all of us, that we would receive this blessing today, that we would go and be this blessing, that we would speak this blessing over sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, picturing special future, speaking words of high value, walking alongside people to let them know of your love for us. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that comes by grace through faith in Jesus. We celebrate that. For the one who's never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.